was our CEO when we deployed. And I've been thinking about that. And every time he went up before the Marines, he would run. And I was remembering that. And last night when he went up on stage, he's a one-star general. I don't know how old he is, but he didn't walk up. He ran up. He still runs. I was just thinking about that, and I was telling him, I said, I always remember that as a junior enlisted Marine. And so every time I go up in front of my Marines, I always run up in front of them. And I was telling him about that and how he influenced me on that. And I said, I've had a few, I said, one of my transmissions chief at where I was at, he was a drill instructor, and it just irritates the mess out of him because I don't march all up there and lockstep and whatever. And we had a good laugh about that, and he said, he's like, he'll get over it. He's like, you just keep running. And so, but I mean, if I can have that much excitement about getting in front of Marines, I'd have at least that much excitement about having the opportunity to stand before God's people and open the word. And so he kind of put me to shame a little bit, because I've let a few things go as far as my physical fitness, and I'm still in the Marine Corps, so I gotta get myself back in shape. So maybe in a few years I'm still running up here and not waddling up here. So, but anyway, open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, the Lord's Day, Lord. Father, we pray that as we come here today, that we honor you with our lives, Lord, and we pray that we can bring true praise and worship to you, Father. You're our salvation, Lord. Without you, we're nothing. We're worms. We're dust, Father. But you gave us your Son Jesus, Lord, that we may be saved, that we may be joint heirs with you. And we thank you and we praise you this day. I pray that you'll bless this message, Lord. I pray it'll encourage your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd already had this passage picked out, and I went up, and I kind of already mentioned that I was talking to my former CO a little bit. And this man is probably one of the most godly men I know. Not only is he a great Marine, he is a great Christian. I've shared this story with you about him before. When I was a corporal, we were out at a range out in California, and if we had to hike out, I think at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, because it gets so hot out. It'll be 130 plus degrees during the day, when the sun gets up. So any foot movement you want to do before the sun comes up. So we hike out to some live fire range, and we sit down. I say we sit down. We started putting up camping net, and that way we'd have some protection from the sun once the sun did come out. And I still remember to this day, at the time, Major Gerard setting his pack down, sitting down. He had a thermos of, I'm assuming, coffee and his Bible, and started reading his Bible. I never forgot that. And last night I went up and I spoke to him. And we were talking a little bit, reminiscing. And some of the things he told me was, before every day, before I speak to anybody, I ask myself, have I spoken to my Lord? He said, before I listen to anybody or anything, I ask myself, have I heard from the Lord? And this guy's a general. I can't even imagine what his schedule's like. I feel like I'm busy all the time with this thing, that thing, the next thing. I can't imagine what his schedule's like. But before he does anything, have I spoken to the Lord? Have I heard from the Lord? And like I said, I already had this passage picked out, but the first verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe he's found that secret place. And he abides there. And I know he abides there because when he was given his speech last night, secular environment, it wasn't a church service. But I tell you right now, if he was in a church service, there'd have been amens going out. But I was sitting next to my wife Andrea, and he was talking about how we as Americans, we are living in houses we have not built. And I looked over at Andrea, and I said, that's a biblical reference. And it was just all through his speech that he was talking. He was talking about, like, one day when I get too old for this, I'm gonna have to turn my sword into a plow and go to the farm. I mean, just different things like that all throughout. And when I was speaking to him later, he said that it's a constant flow of scripture intake. He said that it comes in so much that it comes out in our casual speech. Wow. Was more convicting than sitting in a pew sometimes. Because he is probably one of, there's a couple of people that I really look to as if they are true Christians. He's one of them. And I was telling him, I was like, I told him, I said, my wife's heard a lot about you. I said, but I'm glad she got to hear you speak tonight. It's because he's in the secret place of the Most High that he's able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He is able to speak with a boldness that I don't think I've ever seen anybody speak. It's easy to be bold in a pulpit, preaching to people that, for the most part, generally agree with you. But he spoke with a boldness to a secular group of Marines. He told a story of when he was in college. I'm thinking it must have been a master's class or something, because he, but it was an English class, and the professor was reading out of the book of Samuel and said, "We read here that David had a greater love for Jonathan than for a woman." And they took that right there and said, "That's proof of homosexuality." He said he couldn't take it. He was in the class. He stood up. And he said, "All that does is prove to me you've never been in combat." He said, "David and Jonathan fought together. And they had a special bond where not only was he willing to give his life for the other, but the other was willing to give his life for him." And he said, "That's a bond that most people never experience." He said that in a secular classroom to his professor. And then he told us that speech in a secular place to secular people. In a time in 2025 that if you say anything about sodomy in any one of its flavors, you're ostracized. But he's in the secret place, where he has a God that's his fortress. In him will I trust. He has a testimony. One of the Marines that was there was talking about how on several occasions he's been known to put his career on the line to make sure he helped a Marine. Because he's in that secret place. In God that he trusted, his career didn't matter. His Marines mattered. And because his Marines mattered, whether sodomites or not, and it was received. But it's because he's in the secret place. He's a Christian.
Surely we shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the
noisome pestilence. Our desire as Christians ought to be that secret place. Anyway, who would drive that? And as he drove it for his drills, he would put the Bible on place. He'd just redeem the time. Just allow scripture. He could feel the things in scripture. And he said, if it wasn't for that, how could he be wrong? How could he be right? Lest he stay with himself. He's well in there. As a result, the Lord is his refuge. The Lord is his fortress.
It's evident in God that he trusts. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The psalmist goes on to say, he shall cover thee with the feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be light, shall be thy shield and buckler. I'm going to shift here. Now I'm going on to my little mini farm, if you will. Now I live in Virginia. And we have some ducks. That we have to take them in ducks, but not the bigger file there. But we've got some ducks and practice supply. Straight run. And we've had these happy male and females, and one of them started sitting. So sure enough, over time, but got the duckling. But one thing with that mama duck is if you got spare fur, he would spread the crown of his death. If this wasn't like, oh, I'm just the one who did spread her wings, it's not just sinners. She was letting us know that better not come through here. And so when I'm reading this, I'm picturing, in a way, I guess, this almost likens God to that's putting us under his wing. I've heard of them. But I suspect it's probably similar. I saw the God, so that's what that's. But it's not the get under. It's like it's not threatening that. We see when Peter tried to rebuke Jesus, it's almost like Jesus. He said, "Get me behind me," said, "Get." And he's telling Satan, get away. He's mine. And I'm going to pray for you. It wasn't just like defensive things, but it was kind of like offensive defense. I'm protecting. You make a business. Yeah. They'll flog you. I've been flogged by a duck when she had those babies. They'll flog you. And so when we picture here, our pets are flogged for any next leg. Next, offensive God. Yeah, the God of action. Yeah, cover thee with the feathers under his mouth out thrust. The thrust out the night. My problem is, I'm the rebellious sort of bucket. That the moment they get under the moon. Doubtful. I want to live out in the world. What's this all about? I wanna know about this, I wanna know about that. I wanna come over here and explore. I wanna dabble with this, I wanna dabble with that. Wow, but here's what ignorant the things of the world. You don't if you're bathing yourself in scripture, that's what you're wrong. You're not getting strength. There's a lure to the world. The world says, draw you in. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. What did it say after that? That sin is fun. We're not to be wise in the things of the world. It's a dangerous game to play, I think, more often than not. Because like, no. It's my job to be that shield and protector. Just like our Heavenly Father. He doesn't say,
All right, Christian, here, go get into a bar and preach there. No, he said, get under my wings. Ah, let me protect you. Don't dabble in sin. Don't try to peek outside the wings. Stay in the secret place. Stay in the protection. The Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I think of David, when David was in the wilderness. A man after God's own heart. He had opportunity after opportunity to harm Saul. As he said, that Saul was God's anointed. Who am I, Cobb, to lay hands on God's anointed? He was already ordained to be the next king. But it wasn't his time yet. And Saul, and his jealous and his jealousy and in his rage, time and time again, tried to kill David. But Saul could have touched David. Yeah. God has each and every one of us. We're all anointed. Maybe it's not to be a king. Maybe it's not to be a general. I don't know what God's anointed you for your life, but he has a calling for each and every one of us to minister in some fashion to this world. And if we're doing as God has called us to do, as he's not, for according to his will, then we're safe in the protection. Down a few years ago, and I learned what a buckler was. Like a small shield. It wasn't a big, huge shield. It was a smaller shield. And they would have their weapon in their dominant hand and the buckler in the left. So, yes, there's a time where the Heavenly Father brings us in close and gives us full protection, but there's also a time where we're to have a weapon in our hand and a buckler, and he said, I'm your buckler, and we go forward. It's not always, if you will, the safest place. But if God is your buckler, and in him you trust, he will protect you. Because he's the ultimate shield. So we're not to always be defensive. There are times where he calls for us to pick him up as our buckler, and to be offensive, and to go forward. We are in this world. We're just not of this world. And I know I'm going back to my CEO last night, but that is probably the greatest example of that I think I've ever seen in my life. How he could so boldly present the gospel to those Marines in a secular place. Because the world is hostile to anybody who speaks against that sodomite lifestyle. But yet he did. And he himself was still well received. But why is he well received? Because he's a Christian. Why is he a Christian? Because he's in the secret place. goes on to the Bible goes on to say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. When we think of reward, we think of trophies and medals and maybe prize money or something. We think of reward as a positive thing. But a reward is simply receiving something you've earned. It says, behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's death. For the wages of sin is death. But that verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anybody here watching over the live stream can receive that eternal life and can go into that secret place where they can be protected, where they can be strengthened, where they can be equipped and be a bold Christian. There's many preachers out there who didn't grow up in Christian homes, but they got saved at one point in their life and they became great ministers of God. God doesn't call the qualified. He equips the called. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. It all ties back. It says here that the Lord is his refuge, his habitation. Started all the way back to the beginning. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and my fortress, my God, whom will I trust? All these things tie back to the very beginning. He didn't wait to say, I need to get to the rest. At the very beginning, he said, I'm going to get into the fortress. I'm going to get protected. I'm going to get equipped. And eventually he puts on that buckler and he takes that sword. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I tell my kids all the time, and it's true for anybody, if you are where God wants you to be, no harm can come upon you. If you are in God's will, no harm can come upon you. There's been, there was an Indian chief who fought against George Washington, and later after the wars were over, he was interviewed, and he said that he was shooting officers. He was a good shot. That's my point. He wasn't, he knew how to shoot a gun. But he said every time he tried to shoot at Washington, he missed. And his words were, there was a great chief looking over him. George Washington was right where he was supposed to be, placed there by God. No harm could befall him. But I think about that, because, and I had to confront this with my kids, after telling them time and time again, if you're where God wants you to be, nothing can harm you. And then on September 10th, 2025, Charlie Kirk got assassinated. How do I look at my kids and say, if you're where God wants you to be, nothing will harm you? And then here's a guy who's right where I believe God wanted him. And he gets shot. We read down, I want you to just keep that in your mind right now. I'm going to come back to it, but I want that in your mind right now. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We have guardian angels. It's what the scripture says. We have guardian angels. He will send an angel to keep charge over us, to protect us. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So there's a transition here. I've been relating this message to our personal lives and how it applies to us. I tried to look up who the psalmist was. I wondered if it was David, but I didn't get anything that said. One straight up said they didn't. The psalmist is unknown. So, as far as I know, this psalmist is unknown. But this psalmist, whoever he was a person and was applying this to their life. But the commentator I read said this is a prophetic psalm about Christ. And that's why I wanted you to pause for a moment and think about when I said, that no harm could come thee if you were in God's will. But yet we see a Christian man get shot. How does that come together? Ultimately, it says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because thou hast known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is a picture of Christ to come. Christ had the closest relationship to his heavenly Father, naturally. He was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He was sinless, so he was always talking to his Father and going about his Father's work. We read in the scriptures. Paul said, "Follow me, as I follow Christ." Ultimately, it wasn't really about following Paul. He was just trying to point us in the right direction. Follow me as I follow Christ. There's been many a great preachers who somewhere along the way they fell. It didn't mean what they preached was less true. It just meant that they fell. So we continue to follow Christ, who never failed, who doesn't fail us. But this being a prophetic passage of Scripture, Christ ultimately had to hang on the cross. He ultimately had to die. But the Heavenly Father, when He rises up, He is being honored. He now sits at the right hand of our Father, of God the Father, in honor. Here's the thing. In today, in 2025 for us, we read all this about God protecting us, being our buckler, putting us under His wing, being our fortress. But Charlie Kirk died. He got shot. But what is coming of that? We think of those missionaries. Their name just escaped me. But, I forgot their names. Anyway, they went to a tribe and they were trying to minister to a tribe and the tribe's people killed them. The reason the tribes people killed them was because other tribes in their history, one tribe would befriend a tribe, and when they befriended them and they began to trust them, then they would kill them. So it was out of self-defense, out of self-preservation, that they killed these missionaries. But what ended up happening was the wives forgave the tribe And the wives went back. And then almost that whole tribe came to know the Lord as their Savior. And they were able to minister to those people. Ultimately, the ultimate goal was for them to know God and get saved. And yes, those missionaries had to die. But it was ultimately for a greater glory, for a greater purpose. I don't think God calls most of us, at least in America, to be martyrs. But we ought to be willing. But if God's going to, and I'm not saying that we should aspire to be martyrs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should aspire to be martyrs. But if we're not in the secret place, we're not going to be martyrs. If we don't know the scripture, we can't be a martyr. If we're not actively living as Christians, we can't be a martyr. If we're not bold for Christ, we can't be a martyr. And again, I am not at all saying that we should aspire to being a martyr. I don't think Charlie Kirk got up on September 10th and said, "I think I'll go die for God today." He was just going about for me to live as Christ, to die as God. He was living for Christ. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Honor with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord wants to show us his salvation. Christ didn't leave heaven, the right hand of the Father, live on a sin-corrupt world, die a brutal death because he's just a hateful, judgmental God. No, sin has to be punished. Sin has to be dealt with. The wages of sin is death. But Christ said, "I'll take that death upon me. I'll take that punishment." Just have to believe it. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That doesn't send anybody to hell. He's the Son. And although, truth be told, I didn't actually intend this to necessarily be a quote salvation message, I wanted it to be. I intended it to be one to encourage the believer. But at the end of the day, he says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's how he ends this passage. And so I'd be remiss if he didn't share that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, today's the day of salvation. We're not promise tomorrow. We had to announce two deaths this morning. One in their 60s, one 9 months old. Death is not a respecter of persons, and neither is our Savior. Neither is our God. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means everybody here has an opportunity. And if you don't take that opportunity, that's death. But if you accept, he took your sin, he took my sin. All it's
Listen to that still small voice. The piano player comes. She plays, just ask everybody to stand up and bow your heads. The altar is open this morning.
Whether it's just you've walked out of the secret place, you haven't been going to the secret place, or you're walked out from under that protection, you can go back. You can come back under his wing. We don't worship a vengeful God. He brings us close under his wing, right by his side. Have anything that is troubling your heart today, take it to the altar. Bring it to the Lord.